this planet. Our parental functions can best be performed by guiding them as we do through the temples. Gods and goddesses are basically parent figures, so what could be truer and more just than that we assume these roles and play them thoroughly? Why then do you destroy their own infant technology? The printing press has been rediscovered on three occasions that I can remember, and suppressed each time. This was done for the same reason. They were not yet ready for it. And it was not truly discovered, but rather it was remembered. It was a thing out of legend which someone set about duplicating. If a thing is to come, it must come as a result of factors already present in the culture, and not be pulled from out of the past like a rabbit from a hat. It seems you are drawing a mighty fine line at that point, Brahma. I take it from this that your minions go to and fro in the world, destroying all signs of progress they come upon. This is not true, said the god. You talk as if we desire perpetually this burden of godhood, as if we seek to maintain a dark age that we may know forever the wearisome condition of our enforced divinity. In a word, said Sam, yes. What of the prayer mat which squats before this very temple? Is it on par culturally with a chariot? That is different, said Brahma. As a divine manifestation, it is held in awe by the citizens, and is not questioned for religious reasons. It is hardly the same as if gunpowder were to be introduced. Supposing some local atheist hijacks one and picks it apart, and supposing he happens to be a Thomas Edison, what then? They have tricky combination locks on them. If anyone other than a priest opens one, it will blow up and take him along with it. And I notice you were unable to suppress the rediscovery of the still, though you tried. So you slapped on an alcohol tax, payable to the temples. Mankind has always sought release through drink, said Brahma. It has generally figured in somewhere in his religious ceremonies. Less guilt involved that way. True. We tried suppressing it at first, but we quickly saw we could not. So, in return for our tax, they receive here a blessing upon their booze. Less guilt, less of a hangover, fewer recriminations. It is psychosomatic, you know, and the tax isn't that high. Funny, though, how many prefer the profane brew. You came to pray, and you are staying to scoff. Is that what you're saying, Sam? I offer to answer your questions, not debate Deocrat policies with you. Have you made up your mind yet regarding my offer? Yes, Madeline, said Sam. And did anyone ever tell you how lovely you are when you're angry? Brahma sprang forward off the throne. How could you? How could you tell? Screamed the god. I couldn't really, said Sam, until now. It was just a guess, based upon some of your mannerisms of speech and gesture which I remembered. So you finally achieved your lifelong ambition, eh? I'll bet you've got a harem, too. What's it feel like, madam, to be a real stud, after having been a gal to start out with? Bet every Lizzie in the world would envy you if she knew. Congratulations. Brahma drew himself up to full height and glared. The throne was aflame at his back. The Veena thrummed on dispassionately. He raised his scepter then and spoke. Prepare yourself to receive the curse of Brahma, he began. Whatever for? Asked Sam. Because I guessed your secret? If I am to be a god, what difference does it make? Others must know of it. Are you angry because the only way I could learn your true identity was by baiting you a little? I had assumed you would appreciate me the more if I demonstrated my worth by displaying my wit in this manner. If I have offended you, I do apologize. It is not because you guessed, or even because of the manner in which you guessed, but because you mocked me that I curse you. Mocked you? Said Sam. I do not understand. I intended no disrespect. I was always on good terms with you in the old days. If you will but think back over them, you will recall that this is true. Why should I jeopardize my position by mocking you now? Because you said what you thought too quickly, without thinking a second time. Nay, my lord, I did but jest with you. as any one man might with another when discussing these matters. I am sorry if you took it amiss. I'll warrant you've a harem I'd envy, in which I'll doubtless try to sneak into some night. If you'd curse me for being surprised, then curse away." He drew upon his pipe and wreathed his grin in smoke. Finally, Brahma chuckled. "I'm a bit quick-tempered, 'tis true," he explained, "and perhaps too touchy about my past. Of course, I've often jested so with other men. You are forgiven. I withdraw my beginning curse. And your decision, I take it, is to accept my offer?" he inquired. "That is correct," said Sam. "Good. I've always felt a brotherly affection for you. Go now and summon my priest, that I may instruct him concerning your incarnation. I'll see you soon."
"Sure thing, Lord Brahma."
Sam nodded and raised his pipe. Then he pushed back the row of shelves and sought the priest in the hall without. Various thoughts passed through his mind, but this time he let them remain unspoken. That evening, the prince held counsel with those of his retainers who had visited kinsmen and friends within Maharatha, and with those who had gone about through the town obtaining news and gossip. From these he learned that there were only 10 masters of karma in Maharatha, and that they kept their lodgings in a palace on the southeastern slopes above the city. They made scheduled visits to the clinics or reading rooms of the temples, where the citizens presented themselves for judgment when they applied for renewal. The Hall of Karma itself was a massive black structure within the courtyard of their palace, where a person applied shortly after judgment to have his transfer made into his new body. Strake, along with two of his